We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, saving the world one soundbite at a time right here on Eclipse Monday. So if you saw it, I'd like to know what you saw. And I'm looking forward to hearing from Jeff from Indiana later on, because he's up there in the zone. I forgot there's the zone. They call it. We got to look that up.
The sweet spot.
No, it's not called the sweet spot. That's the big rig title for it. There's like an official zone, okay. Zone of something, or path of something. Totality, maybe.
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah. So yeah, look that up, man. See what it is. Text lines are open. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68 right. Text it or call it. Same number for both. Allie from Athens says, Colonel, your story brings tears to my eyes. When people would ship goodie boxes for the soldiers, and I got a chance one day to see their faces when they opened them up, is one of my favorite memories. Thank God for honey buns and little cards. Both of them can save lives. Yes, ma'am, and indeed so. Thank you, Allie. Did you find it, ma'am? What'd you find out?
You were correct. It's the path of totality.
Path of totality.
That sounds cool.
It sounds like something that, you know, Thanos brings to us, you know. Avengers assemble. Thanos is creating the path of totality. All right, we'll watch. John from Huntsville says, Phil, awesome monologue and happy total eclipse day. Just to let you know, I think I broke the rules. I looked up at the sun without special glasses. Well, I showed Big Rig the picture of me at the last eclipse doing the exact same thing. Also, I think it's a little ridiculous there are news reporters shedding tears over the total eclipse event. If I'm going to be shedding any tears tonight, hopefully it's going to be happy tears when Purdue is beating UConn, because then I'll win a local prize package. Go, John. You go, man. Ronnie from Danville. Yep, Ronnie's got opinions. We're not getting to that one yet, but that's coming up soon in the next Dipper. Ronnie says, Phil, if they want Israel to stop bombing, tell Hamas to surrender. That's the way to stop a war. That'll do it. How about this? Release the hostages. There's that too. Gary from Decatur sent me some images. Oh, what you got here? Eclipse. Well, okay. Oh, there it is. I had to scan down. Okay, I see it. Yeah, I see the eclipse. You see one? Let's see what the other one is like. Oh, yeah. Just a big old bright ball in the sky. Okay.
A little bit of cloud cover there.
A little cloud cover. Yeah, that's cool. All right. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate you. Lee from Huntsville says, Path of Totality is also an album by Korn. I did not know that.
Nice. Yeah, she's right.
Are you a Korn fan?
Yeah.
That's nice. Lee from Huntsville.
Lee's cool in my book.
And then Don from Jackson County says, I brought my daughter up to Monkey's Eyebrow, Kentucky. To what? Monkey's Eyebrow. Okay. Brought my daughter up to Monkey's Eyebrow, Kentucky. We got 3 minutes and 13 seconds of totality.
That can't be a real town. I'm about to look it up.
You're going to look it up right now? Yeah. Monkey's Eyebrow. Monkey's Eyebrow, Kentucky. That's I suspect there's a reason why it was named that, but if someone could tell me why it's called Monkey's Eyebrow, I'd love to know. But anyway, Don from Jackson County, I hope y'all had a great time, made some memories, and that she remembers it for eons. All right, listen, this is crazy doings. Like we have both screens going right now in the studio here, CNN on one side, Fox on the other, and they are nothing but eclipse.
It's a unincorporated community.
It is indeed an unincorporated community in Kentucky.
In Ballard County, Kentucky.
Ballard County, Kentucky. Monkey's Eyebrow. That has to be one of the weirdest names for any town we've got some around here, you know, but still. Monkey's Eyebrow. Okay. Cool. All right, listen, we got all kinds of doings laid on for you. We're gonna be diving right in here momentarily to the first Dipper. War drums. I had any number of hotspots I could have chosen from, because it seems like on the foreign policy stage, the Biden administration is just replete with controversy and capable of sparking small fires that turn into big fires everywhere. I am of the honest belief that some of what we're seeing in the world right now would not be happening if Trump were president. I just do. He had a different style of handling things, and the foreign nations that we deal with knew that, and they did not want to poke the bear, or in this case, poke the eagle. But that being said, Biden is not that. Not at all. Not by a little bit. Not even sort of. Biden's biggest contribution to foreign policy is that he was out of office for a few years, thank God. But now what we're looking at is the guy who allegedly knows all about foreign policy. We've got Haiti falling apart right here in our hemisphere. We've got Ukraine that got marched on by Russia while he was in office. We've got the Taliban resurgence and ISIS in Afghanistan where he had the debacle. We've got China bowing up against Taiwan. We've got everything in the world, but I'm going to talk about Ukraine and Israel. So stand by. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Welcome to Eclipse Monday. Once again, we're going to jump into our dippers. I'll get a few text messages here real quick. Tom from Huntsville says, my best picks from Madison, Alabama. He said, by the way, I'm Tom Holland. I'm Tom from Huntsville. I heard your show first on WVNN. Thank you, bro. Yeah, he got his picks in. Oh, yeah, I see it. Nice outline of the partially covered sun, dark clouds. That's very cool, actually. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate that very much. Duff from Huntsville. I'll tell you what, Duff, I'm going to get your question next. Let me get Lee from Huntsville first. Lee from Huntsville says, oh, the path, it's called the path of totality. Isn't that what we said? I think that's what we said.
Yeah, that's what we said.
Okay. Path of totality. Mm-hmm. Boom. Corn.
There it is.
Boom. Corn with a K. Okay, Duff from Huntsville. Let's talk about our dipper here. War drums. Duff's question is, I have a question. Ukraine is somewhat advanced society where most everyone has a mobile phone like we do. Then if there's a war raging, why don't we see more footage of this war from the average citizen all over social media, just wall to wall? There's a few videos on YouTube, but one would think there'd be endless videos of citizens showing the carnage, right? Duff and Madison. There is, but listen, some of this warfare we're seeing right now is almost back to like World War I level, trench warfare, where it becomes a no man's land, and the people have been evacuated out. But if you'll notice, there are a lot of videos coming out that are oftentimes shot by troops. So we're seeing a lot more than you would in previous wars. But we're not able to say that it's like, you know, the war's happening and everybody's commuting to work that morning. It's not like that. Where this fighting is taking place, you are seeing some like where rockets come flying into a community, but for the most part, the major fighting is taking place where civilians are not walking around on a daily basis. So there's that, Duff. That's my perspective. So let's talk about the two hotspots. Just the two. Let's don't talk about the other 10 right now. Let's just pick two. I picked these two for the very reason that we run the risk of U.S. foreign policy being so jacked up by the Biden administration in two ongoing fights that it could wind up implicating U.S. service members. What I'm trying to say is it could draw us into the war. And the two that I'm talking about are Israel fighting Hamas in the Gaza Strip, and then the war in Ukraine with Russia. Why? What's happened? I'm going to give you two quick synopses, and then I'm going to break them down in more detail. The first one is in Israel right now. You've got President Biden, who is caving to the left, is now basically badgering Israel to stop a war that is probably one of the more just wars we've seen in memory. But then most recently announced that while supplying arms to Israel, he's going to go ahead and set up a relief pier with U.S. troops bringing relief supplies in to the war zone in Gaza. I'll talk about that in more detail in a minute. The other one is Ukraine. Probably one of the more reckless things that I've seen in recent years in terms of like, well, let's say it this way. In diplomacy, words matter because diplomacy is largely words and leverage. Words and leverage. What is your message? What is your talking point? And what leverage do you have to show the other side that your talking points mean something? And then when you say something and you represent the nation, it winds up carrying weight. And the world has to stop and go, what do they mean by that? When will that happen? How do we know? And the other day, Secretary of State Antony Blinken stood there with the foreign policy, the foreign secretary of Ukraine, and said that Ukraine will become a member of NATO. Why is that a big deal? Well, first of all, they haven't qualified, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But secondly, because they're already in the middle of a war with a nuclear adversary with whom we've had tension for well over 60 years. And that adversary has already made it known that a NATO membership for Ukraine would be a game changer in a bad way. And under Article 5 of the NATO Convention, an attack on one is considered an attack on all. And so if they think that Russia's going to back off because we let Ukraine into NATO, I think it could be just the opposite. It might step things up and then we'll be committed and we'll have no choice but to send U.S. troops because that's what our NATO alliance has said that we will do. And that, my friends, is a whole new level. So those two things right there, I mean, I could just stop now. I'm just like, okay, I'm done. That's a whole dipper. Now, I'm going to break it down in more details. Let's take Israel first. I mean, when you're a liberal and you lose Chris Cuomo, Chris Cuomo, Daily Wire's got a piece here. Chris Cuomo has his own podcast now that he was fired from CNN. He's actually working for News Nation now, if I'm not mistaken. News Nation anchor Chris Cuomo tore into President Joe Biden on Thursday, accusing the White House of sending a mixed message on Israel, warning him that no amount of political pressure, even from his own party, was an excuse to be weak. Wow. Chris Cuomo said this about Joe Biden? All right. Cuomo was responding to Biden's Thursday call with the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, during which he reportedly pressured the Israeli leader to move ahead with a ceasefire in Gaza. So here's the thing. Right now, there are still American hostages. And Biden is willing to go ahead and say, hey, just stop fighting. Just stop. While you still have American hostages over there. Last I checked, I think it was seven. Seven of the, 133 remaining hostages that were taken by Hamas on October 7th, 6 months ago yesterday, that seven of those are American citizens. One of them is this young kid from Long Island. I saw him on social media this weekend. Folks, that's just asinine for our president to look at the president of Israel, the only true democracy in the Middle East, our ally, and say, you need to just stop and start literally putting the thumb on him, trying to get him to a new position and call for a ceasefire. Well, all right. During the call, it says the president also suggested that U.S. policy toward Israel moving forward would be reevaluated and determined based on Netanyahu's response to Biden's demands. You know what that is? Well, you want some more help? You want some more stuff? You want some more support at the UN? Well, I got news. We may have to reevaluate our overall position on Israel. Just, you know, if you don't do what we want. That's what it sounds like. That's exactly what it sounds like. And Israel knows. In fact, it's gotten so bad that our greatest ally in the Middle East, Israel, was supposed to be sending a delegation over to meet with the Biden administration. They canceled it. In diplomacy world, that was huge. In diplomacy world, they are like, they're trading blows now. They may not be openly shooting at each other, but this is hopefully nothing more than like a scrap among two brothers. But right now, what's happening is they're truly getting at odds. If you may recall this, I think it was last week or the week before, at the United Nations Security Council, there was a resolution being called for to demand a ceasefire. The United States holds veto authority over any resolution. We are one of the few nations that has 100% veto power, unilateral veto power. We can just say no. And yet, in a shock, we didn't. We chose to abstain. And I'm going to tell you right now, an abstention in a situation like that is one of the worst things that you can. It's a complete sign of fecklessness. It's a sign that we are willing to neither take a stand on this side or that side. We're just going to let the chips fall where they may. And oh, by the way, we're not there for you. Finishing up this article, it says Biden stands to lose the support within his own party if he does not make some effort to appease the pro-Palestinian voters. But he argued there was no excuse for allowing the politics to drive policy when there were still American hostages in the hands of Hamas terrorists. That's Cuomo talking. Listen, bottom line is, it's a mess, and Biden's making it worse. He's absolutely making it worse. Speaker Johnson, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, he came out yesterday. Yep, yesterday. Said right there on the six-month anniversary of the major attacks. By the way, that was the deadliest day in Israel's history. They lost more people there than they did in things like the Seven-Day War. This was the worst attack on Israel since it was founded in 1948. House Speaker Mike Johnson, story here again on Daily Wire, they're tearing it up, marked the half-year point since the deadly Hamas attack on Israeli soil by calling for an end to lecturing of Israel. In other words, what he's saying is, hey, how about we stop talking down to them, please? Can we please? They're our ally. What? He said, today of all days, Washington must be united in our support for our great ally, Israel, as they fight for their sovereignty and their right to exist. It's time to stop lecturing Israel on how it should best defend itself and begin equipping our friends with the resources necessary to limit the threat of Hamas once and for all. Completely agree. Completely agree. Now, this is going to go on. We'll talk about it more after the break coming up here in just a minute. But the reality is this. This situation stands to get worse. And if you think for a second that Hamas is going to sit back and go, oh, well, you know, we'll be glad to, you know, be peaceable if you just cease fire. Well, how about this? Netanyahu's saying ain't going to happen. I'll tell you that in a minute. But when we get back from this break, I'm going to tell you about how the flashpoint for us is the fact that Biden, in a total virtue signal, has decided to go ahead and kind of engage us in the process. Like boots on the ground? Well, we at least got boots on the deck of a ship sitting offshore. How often have you seen ships become a target over there? Oh, yeah. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. You know, what's funny is how many people were like really on board with the idea that this was going to be some kind of a changing moment, and or it was significant enough to, I mean, there was one grouping on there where they were all like getting married in the dark at the I don't know why. I don't know. It's neat. I'm not saying it's not neat, but I just look at it and go, huh, that was cool. Next. And I don't know. What about y'all? Was this really like a cool moment for y'all? My daughter, by the way, just sent me text. I got to admit, this is cool. She's actually on the mall in Washington, D.C., the Smithsonian Mall. And she sent me pictures of the eclipse up there near total where they were. Anyway, the sky is already starting to lighten back up. Now it looks like it's going to rain, which I think it is. I get a few text messages real quick. Jeremy from Huntsville. The sun is 400 times as wide as the moon, and it's 400 times farther away. Sounds like intelligent design. Thank you, Lord. Jeremy.
I just looked that up, and it's true.
Yeah?
Yeah.
400 and 400, huh?
It's pretty crazy.
That is pretty crazy. Jimmy from North Alabama says, wasn't Trump impeached for calling Ukraine and threatening to withhold support unless they did what he said? The same thing Biden's doing now to Israel? Funny. They like to say, though, that it was because he wanted a quid pro quo. Remember that? That was the whole thing. He knew they had information about Biden, and he wanted that information. He wanted it to come out, is what they're saying. That's what, remember, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who I look at and think, how did you pass a PT test? Lieutenant Colonel Vindman felt like it was his duty to declare what he thought he heard in a phone call. Never really worked out the way Vindman thought it would. Thomas from Athens says, Colonel, thank you for showing us all the clouds of war Biden is creating above USA and Israel and Europe. By the way, the October 7th horror inflicted by Hamas is equivalent to 15 plus 9/11s. And how did the U.S. respond after its single 9/11? He's right. So what he's talking about there is per capita. When you consider the population of Israel and how many they lost that day, And then you consider the population of the United States and how many we lost on 9/11. Not at all to mitigate it, not at all. But when you take it in a per capita stance, then what Israel experienced was far more devastating. Everybody knew somebody who had been impacted. Everybody knew somebody who had been harmed, damaged, killed, maimed, threatened, was in the fight, barely escaped or something. There was always somebody in your sphere, I was sure, who had a story. And that's an amazing thing. Bud from Danville says, Phil, you know what Genesis 12:3 said, and we are close to being at that point. Genesis 12:3. I got to look it back up, Bud. I don't have that one memorized, but I will take a look and see. You going to look it up for me?
I did.
What you got?
I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you.
Okay.
There's a story behind it, too, with Abraham and stuff, but it's long.
Okay, cool. Bud, thank you. Darlene from Gadsden. There she is. Eclipse in southern Illinois. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Okay. Darlene, good to hear from you. JT Lacey Springs sent me some. What you... Do you see the pictures that JT sent? JT sends me pictures of his kids are making Eclipse Oreos.
Nice. That sounds like fun.
They're breaking them apart and sliding them off to show the stages of the eclipse. That is just, that's brilliant.
That sounds like a fun activity.
Look at that. They're laying them out and they're like they're in the stages or the phases of the eclipse.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I want one from the path of totality. That's the whole Oreo right there.
Yeah, the whole Oreo.
The whole Oreo. Very cool. JT, y'all are some imaginative people. And then Jerry from Decatur says, peace would have been better served by showing strong ally support to Israel than kissing up to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and the Twin Cities of Minnesota. Yeah, what he's talking about there, too, is that Biden has been sucking up in a big way because of the number of Palestinian sympathizers, especially in those cities that that Jerry's talking about. Thank you, Jerry, Airborne. I'm going to wrap this up after the top of the hour, but let me do this story before I go. So what is Netanyahu saying? Listen, people don't recognize Netanyahu is a former special operations guy himself. He knows what it means to lead, and he knows what it means to lead under duress. He knows what it means to live under threat, and he ain't playing. He's not looking at this and going, But President Biden, we would love to have your support. Now, he's basically saying, all right, fine, screw you, we'll go without you. Israel Defense Force insisted on Sunday, this is past Sunday, that the war against Hamas is not coming to a close because there have been reports of a ground troop withdrawal. No, that was because they finished in one place and they're moving to another. So they finished in a place called Khan Yunis, which is one of the major cities in the Gaza Strip. And it looks like they're getting ready to go to Rafah, which is going to be huge. This is another stage in the war effort in which the IDF's campaign is continuously evolving, he said. The war is not over. The war can only be over when the hostages come home and when Hamas is gone. So he laid it down. He didn't say, like Biden did, we're going to be out on a certain date. Okay, good. Hunker down till the bad guys leave. That's the way the enemy works when you tell him what date is. What he said instead, Netanyahu, is it's conditions-based. Absolutely conditions-based. What are his conditions? The hostages come home, and Hamas is done. All right, we come back. I'll take you to that next part of the story. How are U.S. troops going to be involved? It's a little messy. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two. So we're in it. We're watching the path of totality move past us. How was the eclipse? What'd you see? If you got any cool pictures, go ahead and text them in, 833-687-4448. Did you see? Now, I know in some places, too, the crazy thing is, here you are, you know, with a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see the total eclipse of the sun, and it got cloudy. So, dang. But still, for those of you that got to see something cool, or you even I'd like to know, too, what did you do? Like, I am still amazed at JT from Lacey Springs, who apparently is teaching the youngins about the eclipse and the phases of the eclipse by using Oreos. That was brilliant. Back to the Dipper. Let's finish this up. War drums. The war drums are playing. You can hear them in the background, right? The war drums are beating, and there's hot spots. I've called them flashpoints all over the world. China, the South China Sea, Taiwan. Then there's the Korean Peninsula, which is always dicey. And then there's what's happening with Iran, the Houthis. What are you hearing about that lately? Got a little quiet? Not really. We're just not hearing about it as much. What about Hezbollah? Are they going to fire more rockets? How about Syria? We have troops in Syria right now. What about Haiti? Haiti's falling apart, going to hell in a handbasket right here in our hemisphere. Haiti's becoming an island version of Somalia right here in our hemisphere. All that to say, the two that I chose to go with today were Israel and Ukraine, because both are major conflicts that have major ramifications, both of which have the potential for the U.S. to be sucked in. Here's the last piece on the Israel portion before I jump into Ukraine. Storyonthehill.com. You may recall that when Biden did his State of the Union address, when Angry Joe got up there and yelled at us for a whole hour, the announcement was made in the middle of his address that with what's going on in Israel, he was splitting hairs. We're going to keep supporting our longtime ally Israel, but we got to do some good stuff for the people in Gaza. Okay, what does that mean? Well, right now we have U.S. ships that have been dispatched to the Middle East by the Biden administration to get to the harbor in Gaza and set up a floating pier so they can offload supplies. I just want to remind you guys of the USS Cole. The USS Cole at anchor in Aden Harbor in Yemen in the year 2000, I believe it was. 17 soldiers, is that right? 17 U.S. Navy soldiers killed, 37 injured, when a U.S. frigate sitting at anchor had an attack by a little small boat that ran up next to it and detonated a suicide bomb. It was like the waterborne version of a VBIED. I guess it'd be a BBIED. But that's so possible right now. TheHill.com says, last month, the U.S. military dispatched a flotilla of transports to fulfill President Biden's commitment to establish a port for aid in Gaza. As they set sail, congressional leaders began expressing reservations about his plan. Congress and the American public are understandably concerned about the plight faced by the coastal strip's 2 million residents. However, Congress is also worried about the prospect of a looming debacle once the ships arrive. Despite governing Gaza for more than a decade and a half, Hamas has made it clear through their actions they do not view the well-being of its citizens as their responsibility. All the more surprising that this gets almost no attention from the administration or other world leaders that are clamoring for more aid to get to them. Here's where Alabama kicks in, by the way. Representative Mike Rogers from Alabama, who's the chair of the House Armed Services Committee, he says the problem does not go away just because we deliver aid from the sea. Seems to me there's no plan for how operations are going to be conducted. Like, once they get there, how long is it going to take to set up the pier? Do they have what they need? What kind of local support are they going to require? Are they going to stay on ship? Are we going to be setting up boots on the ground? Are we going to have security forces that are local in nature? Is Israel going to help secure? Why would Israel help secure? Are we going to do that? Or are we going to provide our own security? And then once we do, how do we do it? And then once we do that, how do we offload supplies? Who's going to run this thing? Is it going to be an aid organization? Is it going to be the U.S. Navy? Is it going to be somebody else in the Middle East that's going to come in and say, thank you for building the pier, we'll take it from here? Nobody knows. I'll be honest with you, I don't think Biden knows. What that basically means is you're going to have U.S. forces at anchor in one of the most hostile environments in the world, in the middle of a war zone, where people are legitimately angry at us. And security is going to be the highlight of the day. Story continues saying it would be the height of negligence to assume that there's no risk of rioting or disorder or even deliberate attacks. As we've seen in the Red Sea, ships make a very attractive target. Yes, they do. Be prepared for Hamas to attempt to engineer a friendly fire incident between Israeli forces and aid distribution. I can imagine. They already have. The administration's approach to the conflict has increasingly trended toward emphasizing short-term measures that please the progressive base, but they ignore the consequences. What he's saying there is, oh, we're going to bring some food. Awesome. But we're going to do it in such a way that we put ourselves at risk, our own service members at risk. Of course, they were talking about the same Biden administration that had the Abbey Gate debacle in the pullout of Afghanistan. All right. So here's the thing. We've got Israel right now. Biden is undermining Netanyahu's lead. The war is not going to stop. Netanyahu says when we get the hostages back and Hamas is broken, then we'll come home. But in the meantime, the fight continues. So Biden continues to undermine and put conditions upon him. And then, oh, by the way, he's going to send aid. How's he going to send the aid? U.S. military. Oh, do you feel like Somalia again? Black Hawk down? That's what it feels like. We're about to send troops over there with a non-coherent mission and just hope it goes well. But what about Europe? What about Europe, Phil? What about Europe? The Polish Prime Minister, Donald Tusk is his name. The Polish Prime Minister just about 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago, came out and said that Europe is now entering a pre-war era, cautioning the continent is not ready, urging European countries to step up defense investments. In an interview with European newspapers here reported in The Guardian, Tusk said, here's his quote, "I don't want to scare anyone, but war is no longer a concept from the past. It's real, and it started over 2 years ago." All right. Keep in mind, I chose these two, Israel and Ukraine, because I believe there's a possibility that U.S. forces could get sucked in. This guy, Donald Tusk from Poland. Keep in mind, Poland has history. They have history with being invaded. The Nazis invaded Poland. They have history with the Russians. They lived under the Soviet Union's thumb for quite a while. And they are directly on Ukraine's western border. So if Russia takes Ukraine, there is no buffer between Poland and the Russia that it still hates to this day. Tusk has been using his platform to try and add a sense of urgency to Europe's debates about defense. The Polish Prime Minister said that regardless of the outcome of the U.S. election this year, Europe would become a more attractive partner for Washington if it would become more self-sufficient militarily. I agree with that. I agree with that. But then let's take that and measure it against what happened with Antony Blinken, Secretary of State of the United States of America, Antony Blinken. I said earlier in the show, in diplomacy world, words matter. Images matter. Everything you say is scrutinized. What did he mean by that? How was that word used? What was the context? How should we stand when we're in doing the press conference? Who stands on the right? Who stands on the left? Everything matters. Antony Blinken knows that. He's been around for a while. I think he's useless, but he's been around for a while. Story here in the Washington Examiner. It says, for someone who is as seasoned a diplomat as Secretary of State Antony Blinken, the reckless rhetoric he displayed on Thursday was as disturbing as it was shocking. After meeting with Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba in Brussels, Blinken told the reporters that Ukraine was going to become a member of NATO without any qualifiers added. His quote was, "Ukraine will become a member of NATO. Our purpose at the summit is to help build a bridge to that membership." How about not a good time? How about that could have massive implications for U.S. forces? How about you say those kinds of things and Russia sits up and takes notice? Were you trying to scare Russia away? Because I don't think that's going to work. If you're trying to draw Russia in, or for that matter, ensure that U.S. forces are in, that's how you would do it. By adding Ukraine to NATO, it's a game changer. We'll come back from this break and I'll wrap it up and tell you why. Oh, man, I'm telling you. Y'all, we are sitting here right now looking at what I call war drums. You can hear them beating in the distance. Stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow, like saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, I'm going to finish up this dipper. I will tell you, this is a complete aside. I'm breaking news here. I just saw something on social media. A new site in Tuscaloosa. All it says is, and I'm not as familiar with some of the, there's Hay Court, which is a housing complex, I believe, that may be on the campus or very close. It says reports of shots fired at Hay Court just past Stillman, and the emergency department at Druid City Hospital has gone on lockdown. Does not sound real good. So Big Rig's going to look it up, see if he can figure it out. But that's all I know so far. If anybody else knows more, you're welcome to text it in, 833-687-4448, and we'll pray that goes well. I'm going to finish up this dipper here, war drums. So you've got Ukraine, an ongoing fight, a bloody fight. Like, we're seeing levels of attrition of troops that we haven't seen since the World Wars. No kidding. You go and look at, I mean, we don't know for a fact how many Russia's lost because they, you know, they can't be trusted, but we believe they have lost in the hundreds of thousands of troops. It's that bad. Y'all, there are whole sections of eastern Ukraine and parts of the northern Crimean Peninsula that are just devastated. I mean, they make what's going on right now in Hamas, in the fight with Hamas in Gaza Strip, about the same in Europe. I mean, it's there are sections in the eastern provinces of Ukraine that are just devastated. That being said, it's not going to be over soon. Although Ukraine has finally begun waning somewhat in what its capabilities are. I mean, they're vastly outnumbered, and they've had tons of aid from us and from others, and they've gotten new weapon systems. I'll be honest with you. I'm frustrated when I hear about the way it's being handled by the U.S., but I'll say this. Everybody I've talked to that has any insights on how the Ukrainian armies and air forces have been able to adopt these new weapons and put them into action said that they are absolutely unparalleled in their ability to absorb new technologies and put it into work. Just go into play with it and then repair them on the battlefield and keep moving. But what happens with Blinken? Secretary of State Antony Blinken just up and saying the other day, Ukraine's going to become a member of NATO. We're here to begin working that out. Well, it doesn't work like that. But if it did, what does it mean for us? The first flashpoint I talked about today was Israel. And Biden is now sending troops to, I don't know, deliver aid, apparently. Going to build a pier and deliver aid. No plan. No one knows how he's going to do it. But the flotilla of ships is already over that way. What's the plan, boss? I got no plan. We're just going to make it work. Sounds an awful lot like Somalia, Black Hawk Down, the mission creep. And then you got Ukraine. And now we're saying, officially, the Secretary of State himself is saying Ukraine's going to become a member of NATO. Why does that matter? The Article 5 of the NATO Convention, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization's actual alliance is built on a true treaty that nations enter into because that's what binds them together. It's a contract among the nations of NATO. And Article 5 says that an attack on one is an attack on all. It explicitly requires that member nations would, quote, provide assistance individually or collectively, including through the use of armed forces. And you have to look at this, and I'm looking at a great article written by James J. Carafano from the Heritage Organization. Came out last October. It says factors affecting Ukraine's accession. This is before he knew that Blinken was saying, yeah, we're going to do it. We're just going to do it. It's going to happen. He's saying you don't just rush into it. There's a process. There's a formal process. And when you've got the ability to see a new nation come in, it doesn't mean they get to have an accelerated membership because the process is what it is. He says, while it may be politically appealing to fast-track Ukraine's accession, abrogating the formal steps to membership could have the unintended consequence of weakening NATO by introducing a member that does not meet the standards. And says, political decisions aside, there are a number of practical and administrative obstacles. Number one, what happens when a nation at war already joins NATO while they're at war? It's never happened before. He says, no nation's ever been asked to join NATO that was already a party to an ongoing conflict. All right, would it mean that we would go to war with Russia? And he points out, arguably, it would. By allowing Ukraine to join NATO at this time, he says, member states would be explicitly risking being drawn into a wider conflict. It is extremely unlikely that there would be a consensus in the NATO alliance to even accept this risk, and nor should there be. And then he says, is NATO going to invite Ukraine to join? He says, almost certainly not. So my question is, then why did Blinken say it? Is Blinken getting out there on his own? Not likely. Is he getting out there with a calculated plan to try and scare Russia into doing something they want it to do? Maybe. Is he really saying that they're going to just up and let Ukraine jump in the middle of a wider conflict, in the middle of an election year? Are they trying to wag the dog? Are they trying to create something that's bigger than what it is right now? Because they can't get, you know, the Republicans in Congress actually want a plan before they spend more money. Good on them. Maybe what we're looking at here is, well, we're desperate because we need them to, you know, we need them to still like us over there because they got the goods on us and we don't want to let the world know. So we got to get them some more aid. But if we can't get some more aid out of Congress, then I guess we'll have to go to war so that they have to supply the aid. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm being overly pragmatic or overly pessimistic, but the reality is this. Biden has put us in an awful position in two major flashpoints, which are in the middle of an ongoing war. I'm not even talking about the what could be thing about China. I'm not talking about the what could be thing with Iran. I'm talking about these are actual wars. And in Israel, he's putting troops into an awful position where they will suddenly be in the middle of a war zone where everybody hates them, trying to allegedly dole out aid. And then at the same time, we're looking at what's happening in Ukraine, and he's announcing things that would mean we get involved. More to come. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.